To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life in atonement for sin and opened the life gate that all may go in. Thank you, God, for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross at Calvary for me and for all your people. I give you honor today, I give you glory today, and I give you praise today, for you are good. You are good and your mercies endure forever. As always, Father, I'm asking that you speak to me and through me unto your people. Let your will, your plan, and purpose for this podcast message today come to fruition in all our lives. All honor, glory, and praise be to you, dear God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So God wants to get to the root of your issues today. He wants to get to the root of your issues today. So if sexual sin is your issue, God wants to get to the root of it. If deception is your issue, God wants to get to the root of it. If lying is your issue, he wants to get to the root of it. If murder is your issue, God wants to get to the root of it. If setup is your issue, he wants to get to the root of it. God wants to get to the root of your issues today. He says, also, if unforgiveness is your issue, he wants to get to the root of it. If lying is your issue, he wants to get to the root of it. If you're running into mischief, God says he wants to get to the root of it. If conspiracy is your issue, he wants to deal with it. He wants to get to the root of your issue. If disgrace is your issue, God is committed to get into the root of it. Hallelujah. If you are a concubine today, God wants to get to the root of it. If your issue is anger today, he wants to get to the root of it. He wants to get to the root of every issue in your life. If you are inflicting punishment on yourself, God wants to get to the root of it. If you have been raped, God wants to get to the root of it. If you are holding animosity, God wants to get to the root of it. He wants to get to the root of revenge, immorality, bitterness, resentfulness. God wants to get to the root of it. God wants to get to the root of sin today. Negative behavior, he wants to get to the root of it. Prostitution, God wants to get to the root of it. You know, God is saying to you today that your condition is not permanent. It is redeemable. It is redeemable. And the only way God can get to the root of that issue is if you surrender to him and you confess to him and you come to him and you admit to him and you ask for his forgiveness. And he will get to the root of that issue. You know, despite King David's faults, God still chose David. He still continued his purpose through David. Despite David's deception and his fornication and his lying and his murdering and his scheming and his running and hiding from God for an entire year. Despite the conspiring to commit murder, to kill Uriah, despite the deception, the lying, God restored David and he continued his purpose through David. What is God saying to you today? He wants to get to the root of your issues as well. In the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 18, I'm going to read verses 9 through 15. 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 9. And Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak. And his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between the heaven and the earth. And the mule that was under him went away. And a certain man saw it and told Joab and said, "Behold, I saw Absalom hanged in an oak." Verse 11 of 2 Samuel chapter 18 says, "And Joab said unto the man that told him, And behold, thou sawest him, and why didst thou not smite him there to the ground? And I would have given thee 10 shekels of silver and a girdle." Verse 12 says, "And the man said unto Joab, Though I should receive 1,000 shekels of silver in mine hand, yet would I not put forth mine hand against the king's son. For in our hearing the king charged thee, and Abishal, hearing the king charged thee, and Abishal, and Ital, saying, Beware that none touch the young man Absalom. Otherwise, I should have wrought falsehood against mine own life, for there is no matter hid from the king. And though thou thyself wouldest have set thyself against me." Verse 14 said, "Then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. And he took 3 darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. And 10 young men that bare Joab's armor compassed about and smote Absalom and slew him." God wants to get to the root of your issues. Absalom had an issue. Absalom has a sister. Her name is Tamar. Absalom had a brother. His name was Amnon. Amnon was the half-brother to Absalom's sister Tamar. They're all children of King David. Amnon was in love with his half-sister Tamar, and he raped her. And he raped her, and their father, King David, did nothing about it. The Bible says David was angry about it, but he did not punish Amnon for raping his sister Tamar. So his brother Absalom held that thing in his heart for 2 entire years. He conspired in his heart. He took his sister Tamar into his home to live with him and said, "Tamar, did Amnon touch you?" She said, "Yes, he raped me." He says, "Don't worry about it. Come and stay with me. I'll protect you. I'll take care of you." David the king knew this and he did nothing about it. And because David did nothing about it, Absalom decided he was going to take justice, the law, into his own hand. 2 years later, he slew his brother Amnon. He murdered his brother Amnon. Where is that sin coming from? Where is the sin of murder coming from? It is coming down the generational line of King David, their father. David was the same one that wrote the death letter to Uriah and placed it in Uriah's hand and told him to bring it to this very same Joab, the leader of his army, and told Joab to put Uriah in the hottest part of the battle and have the other soldiers retreat from him and leave him so that he might be killed by the enemies of God. The murdering, deceptive, and lying and scheming spirit came from his father. He inherited his father's issues. He kept it on the covers. He pretended like all was well with his brother Amnon. He probably ate dinner with his brother. He probably spent holidays with his brother. Amen. He laughed and he talked with his brother for an entire 2 years before he murdered his own brother. In revenge, God wants to get to the root of your issues. He wants to uproot revenge. He wants to uproot mischief. He wants to uproot deception. He wants to uproot lying. He wants to uproot scheming. He wants to uproot murder. He wants to uproot conspiracy. He wants to uproot sexual sins. He wants to uproot raping. He wants to uproot all these immoral behaviors out of your life. Listen, when you commit a sin against God or against God's word, your sin has to be dealt with by God in a natural. It has to be dealt with by God in a natural. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Numbers 23 and 19. Sin is punished by God always. God cannot turn a blind eye to sin. Every sin that we commit must be dealt with by God. Absalom was full of sin. He was full of deception. Hallelujah. He went so far as trying to usurp the kingdom from under his father. Because why? He was resentful and bitter against toward his father because of the events that took place between his sister Tamar and his brother Amnon. So he tried to usurp the throne to disgrace his father. He tried to become king in place of his father. His father was still alive. And not only that, God wants to deal with the issue. He wants to get the root of disgrace out of your life. Amnon tried to bring disgrace to his father, David, by what? Committing public immorality with his father's concubines. David picked up and he fled the throne when he found out his son was trying to usurp the throne from under him, when he felt like all was against him, when he felt like his life was in danger, he left. And he left some of the concubines at the palace, and his son took the concubines and went on the rooftop and slept with his father's concubines in public. In public. Where was David when he saw Bathsheba bathing? Was he not on a rooftop? So the sin that David committed had to be dealt with in the natural. How did God deal with that sin in the natural? He sent the prophet Nathan to tell David a little story about one man that had a little lamb. And there was another man that had many lambs. And this rich man took the man's one little lamb that he loved so much. And then he killed the man. Because you see, when we're conspiring, when we're being deceptive, when we're lying, when we're cheating, when we're scheming, amen? When we're committing murder, when we're fornicating, when we're committing adultery, when we're doing, we're just immoral and unrighteous. When we're living in ill will, when we're walking in unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment and bad behavior and mischief, we think that God is not seeing. So God sent the prophet Nathan to tell David that story. To say, I see you.
God dealt with David's sin in the natural. How did he deal with that? He killed the child that Bathsheba and David had. The child lived 7 days and God slew it with an illness. Hallelujah. Somebody had to be dealt with in the natural. The sin had to be dealt with in the natural. The reason God did not kill David is because God wanted to continue his purpose through David. David had a work to do. Hallelujah. But the amazing thing is this. When David was confronted, by the prophet Nathan, listen, he repented. He accepted responsibility for his sinful behavior. He repents, confesses before God, and God forgave him. You know, it was deception that told David to bring Uriah home from battle. You see, one sin leads to another sin. Deception told David, listen, you messed up, but I, deception, have a way for you out. That's a lie from the pits of hell. David allowed the enemy to deceive him into believing that he can bring Uriah home from battle, and Uriah would be so in love with his beautiful wife. There's no reason Uriah would not want to come home from battle and go home and have relations with his wife. And David thought that would solve the problem. And it didn't. It caused more problem. When it didn't work, what did David do? He resorted to conspiring to commit murder. He murdered the man. He wrote the man's death letter and gave it to Joab. And Joab did as David commanded. And Uriah was murdered. He was killed at battle. Huh? God wants to get those roots, those issues out of your life. This same Absalom, with this murdering spirit, murdered his brother Amnon. And what happened? The same Joab, when he found out that Absalom hanged in an oak, he was caught by his beautiful hair by an oak tree. The mule that he was on, when his hair got caught in the tree, he was hanging between heaven and earth, is what the Bible said. In other words, he's caught in the air in a tree by his hair, and his feet are dangling and not touching the ground. And somebody told the same Joab, the general of David's army in Israel, that we found this Absalom that has been trying to usurp the throne from under his father, that has been seeking to kill his father because he has a murdering spirit like his father. Joab said to the guy, why did you not kill him? The guy says, me kill him? No, I will not put my hand against the king's son, because the king told us, if we see his son, don't touch the young man. That is what 2 Samuel 18 and verse 12 says. The man said unto Joab, verse 12, I beg your pardon, 18 verse 12, 2 Samuel. And the man said unto Joab, though I should receive 1,000 shekels of silver in mine hand, yet would I not put forth my hand against the king's son. He says, I don't care how much money you give me, I would not kill him. For in our hearing, he says, I heard King David told us, he charged us and says, listen, do not, if he said, beware that none touch the young man Absalom. If David said, if you see my son, don't kill him. Meanwhile, the son is looking for him to kill him. You see, David learned, he's like, look, I got to stop this killing. I messed up with Uriah. God told David, I can't use you to build my temple, because your hands are too bloody. Bloody hands. Absalom is running into mischief. Let's talk about David's dead son, Amnon. He too was running into mischief. He had a sin, a root called lust, a root called incest, a root called rape, a root called deception, a root called betrayal. Amen? His sister trusted him. He pretended to be sick, called his father and said, send my sister Tamar to my house to come and make me a meal. His sister came at the command of her father. She went to her brother's house because she's thinking, this is my brother. She's not thinking that her brother is in love with her and is going to rape her. So she's preparing the food and he's watching his sister and lusting after his sister as his sister is preparing a food for him because he's pretended to be ill. And he sends everyone out the house and he takes a hold of her. He's telling her, feed me. He wants his sister to spoon feed him the food that she's prepared. And when she naively begins to do this, he pins her down and he rapes her. Huh?
God wants to get to the root of these issues. He wants to break these generational curses of sexual sin, deception, lying, murder.
David was set up by his ancestors to fall in the sin with Bathsheba. It is a setup. It is a setup.
You know, David said in the scripture, I think it's in the psalm, it says he was conceived, formed and shaped in sin and formed in iniquity, something to that effect. He said something about being born or the union. His birth came about. He was, his father and mother probably weren't married, or his mother somehow probably had him out of wedlock, whatever it is. David is saying he was not conceived the way that God commands that men and women should have children. He is saying, I was born in sin. I was shaped in iniquity. I wasn't conceived in the right way. There was some sin, some sexual sin took place there. So from the womb, David is saying he was tainted from the womb. God is saying, listen, you got to stop running into mischief. Absalom ran into mischief and he got hung by the tree. The young man said, I'm not going to kill the king's son because the king said we are not to touch him. What did Joab do? The same Joab that set up Uriah to die through the letter that David wrote. The Bible says Joab took 3 darts, 2 Samuel 18 and verse 14. Then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. Joab is like, I ain't got time with you. I got to go. He took 3 darts in his hand and he thrust them through the heart of Absalom. He went, found David's son hanging in the oak tree, wherever the man told him, he saw him hanging in the oak tree. He took 3 darts and he killed David's son, Absalom. While he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. And then guess what? 10 other young men came with Joab and they beat Absalom to death. Huh? So it's not just David. It's proof here. It's not just David's family that has this murdering spirit. There were 10 others that joined Joab in finishing off Absalom. Absalom sat in his bitterness and his resentment against his father and his younger brother Amnon for 2 years. He simmered. He was boiling over, waiting, just plotting and scheming how and when he was going to take his brother's life. Matthew 26:41 say, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Why? The spirit is willing. The spirit indeed is willing, but what? The flesh is weak. You want to do right, but you just keep doing wrong. Romans 7, 15 to 20. Romans chapter 7, 15 to 20. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. Paul is saying, the things I am doing, I don't want to do. I know they are wrong. Listen. Jesus told the disciples when he was in the garden, he says, stay awake and pray. You got to watch and pray. Paul is saying, listen, my spirit is willing to do the right thing, but my flesh is so weak. He is saying, I just want to take revenge, but God is saying vengeance is his. He will repay. Absalom wasn't strong enough because of that ancestral curse of murder that came down his father's bloodline. Amnon could not resist the sexual sin of lust and incest and rape.
amen, that he committed against his sister Tamar. It's a curse. It is a curse. And you have to break that curse. Somebody in your family has to take a stand. Let you be the one that takes a stand for righteousness and holiness and purity. Don't let deception run your life. Do not walk in deception. What did David do? What did Absalom do? After Absalom rapes David's 10 concubines, what does he do? He continues to his pursuit to what? Of his father David, to what? To kill him and to usurp the kingdom and to kill him. Amen? And what happens to him? He's eventually defeated. And it's after Absalom's death that David returns to Jerusalem. No, sir. We have to do better. We have to, as believers, do better. It said that David's parents hadn't been married when he was conceived. And if they were not married when David was conceived, or even if his mother went out and had him, however it is, it said that his parents were not, they were not married, right? What happens here? They conceived him in sin, and that opens a door to what? Sexual sin for his life. And not just his life, the life of his children. David opened Pandora's box when he raped Bathsheba, Uriah's wife, because she wasn't his wife and he was a king, and he used his power to call her, and because he's king, she had to come. So whether or not she wanted to sleep with David, she had no choice. So that's rape. He opened the door to rape. And then he moved from rape to conspiring to murder. That's the spirit of murder. And not only that, adultery and fornication. So Bathsheba is in sin, David is sin, Joab is in sin, everybody is in sin. Paul said, I want to do right spiritually, but my flesh is weak. Let me tell you something, ungodly belief is anything that we believe that does not agree with God's word. That's what ungodly belief is. That is your answer. If it doesn't agree with God's word, it is an ungodly belief. My goodness. Oh, he's like, I'm king. I'll order her to come. She has no choice but to have sex with me. And then I'll send her home and nobody will know. Deceptions. Lies. Those are lies of the enemy. Nobody will know. God knows. He knows. He knows. The sin is still going to be dealt with, is what God is saying. David was set up by his ancestors. He was. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 6. Let's just read verse 16. Now, let's start at verse 2. 2 Samuel chapter 15. And let's see what verse 2. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, of what city art thou? And he said, thy servant is of one of the tribes of Israel. And Absalom said unto him, see, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee. Absalom said moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. Absalom is sickening, y'all. He's standing at the gate of the city. And as the people are coming to go meet with the king, to get judgment, to get their issues resolved, to get the root of their issues plucked out, Absalom is meeting the people and say, oh, there's nobody to dispute your case. But if I were king,
if I were put in authority, I would do this to you. I will do this for you. I will settle your problem. Deception. He's deceiving the people. He is running into mischief. He ran into mischief, and the mischief cost Absalom his life. Mischief caused Amnon his life. Mischief caused David's and Bathsheba's child that they conceived out of wedlock his life. Even though David was angry when he found out that his son Amnon raped his daughter, his sister, Amnon raped his sister, which is David's daughter. He was angry, but he did nothing about it. So Absalom, his other cuckoo son, took it upon himself to murder his brother Amnon. In what? Revenge. Oh, God wants to get the root of revenge out of you. He wants it out of you so he can use you despite your faults, like he used David. I told you earlier, your condition is not permanent. 1 John, Luke 1:37 say, for with God, all things are possible. It's redeemable. You can be helped. You know, who you are is not determined by your birth. It is determined by your new life and your behavior in Christ. The word of God in 2 Corinthians 5:17, I believe it says, you know, you are a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. David prayer in Psalm 51, verses 1 through 5. Let me turn there. Psalm 51, verses 1 through 5. This is David's prayer. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Listen what David says in verse 4. I love it. Against thee. Who is he talking to? God. The only God have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. In sin. So David is saying, my mom was not married when she conceived me. Amen. He didn't say my mother and my father. He said, in sin did my mother conceive me. So whoever she slept with, she was not married to. Because he didn't say my mother and my father, Jesse, conceived me. He said, in sin did my mother conceive me. So David laid his burdens at Jesus' feet. He asked Jesus to have mercy on him according to Jesus' loving kindness. He asked God to blot out his transgressions. Asked God to wash you like David asked him to wash him. Ask God. He will do it. He will do it. Matthew 7:7 say, ask and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. 2 Samuel 12:13 says, and David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. He prayed. He confessed. He acknowledged his sin. He asked forgiveness. God forgave him, and God told the prophet to tell him, he's put away David's sin. And he won't die. The baby born of the union of David and Bathsheba did die. It was stricken by an illness by God. Lived for 7 days and died. But what? Guess what? Forgiveness of your sins does not remove the natural consequences of your behavior. It doesn't. God has to punish sins. Hallelujah. He has to punish sins because God is pure and he is holy. God bless you.